Ask you to pray for me. I feel like for quite some time I've been wanting to preach on this. Never have before. But I have been wanting to for a while, and I feel like tonight's the night to do it. And as I said a minute ago, if I don't sound too excited, it's because I feel like half my head's coming off right here. So pray the Lord just help me get over that here in the next few minutes. Verse number 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 35. All right, great book here, the book of Hebrews. And I want you to get this. I believe the Lord wants us to have this tonight. Really. There are sermons that we preach sometimes, and then sometimes there's messages. A sermon is good for any people, anytime, anywhere. A message is for a certain group at a certain time in a certain place. And I do feel like tonight that's what this would be. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And there's the word I'm going to be dealing with tonight. Confidence. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to use verse 35 tonight, and I'm going to refer to those other ones, and preach to you on the subject, have we lost confidence? Ours is a day that seemingly like the devil is working overtime on Christians everywhere I go, causing them to lose confidence. Now I'm going to deal with some major things tonight that if we don't keep our confidence in, we're in trouble. I sense as I appreciate so much the Lord let me travel. I mean, it's rough physically, and it's hard. You know, I don't like being away from the kids and family and all. But you learn so much. I meet Christians all over the country. And I see a thing going on today that many Christians have just lost confidence. The word confidence, according to the dictionary, means a firm belief or trust in. Means you firmly believe in something. You trust. The Bible said, cast not away your confidence. The devil's job tonight, and one of his biggest tools, is to make you doubt your beliefs. And if he can get you to doubt in your beliefs, then you will not act on your belief. If you're doubting whether or not you're saved, you're not going to witness to nobody else. If you're doubting whether or not God's really coming back after you one of these days, you're not going to be a happy and joyous Christian. If you doubt whether it works in your life, then you're not going to have what it takes to make it through and show others the light that you need to show them. You too hot? Bumped it down just a hair back there, Jay. Have we lost confidence? Now I want to get right into the message tonight and say, first of all, have we lost confidence in the ministry? Have we lost confidence in the ministry? We are living in a time when confidence in the ministry is at an all-time low. I'm talking about in the world and even in the church. Very seldom do you go to a church where you find most people really have confidence anymore in the ministry. There was a time, ladies and gentlemen, when a man stood, held a Bible under his arm, and said, I'm called to preach God's holy word, that people gave him their utmost respect and confidence. There's something happened to our generation. It's not like that anymore. People look at you in disdain and contempt if you tell them you're a preacher of the gospel. Matter of fact, they've taken surveys and said people's confidence in the ministry is at an all-time low. Now, I want to say two or three things about that right quickly. And on this first point of have we lost confidence in the ministry. The word confidence means a firm belief or trust in. If the devil can get you to lose confidence in your preacher or preachers in general, then he has won a great victory in your life. I have people all the time tell me, they say, Brother Danny, who can we believe in anymore? Is there anybody that we can really trust? I have people tell me all the time, Brother Danny, I really had confidence in so-and-so, and this happened. I really had confidence in somebody else, and that happened. I really had faith in Brother so-and-so, and then that happened. I've got to the place where I don't know if I can have confidence in any preacher anymore. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, that is a tool of the devil to cause you to lose confidence in the ministry. As long as God has a people on this earth, God Almighty is going to have preachers. Preachers that love Him. Preachers that do right. Preachers that try to serve Him from the bottom of their heart. Preachers that are real. Now, I believe tonight that the reason people have lost confidence in the ministry is threefold. Number one, a lot of it is the preacher's fault. I want to lay the blame where it goes tonight, and I'm going to start with we, the men of God. Many times, we are not willing to pay the price. We are not willing to stand where we ought to stand. We are overcome by sin. We allow the devil to mess our lives up. And we partly bear the blame for people. I don't think preachers ought to get up and fuss at everybody and bless them out for not having confidence in them when part of the blame lies at the feet of the men of God. We need to make sure we're right. I'm going to tell you tonight, I want to accept my part of the responsibility of the mess that America's in tonight. And I want to be the man of God that God wants me to be. I'll take my part of the blame. Brother, this thing about priests, they found so many Catholic priests molesting young boys, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. Way up into the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Turn this up just a little bit, Bill. I'm going to have to quieten down just a little bit. Somebody said the other day, I was up in Dover, in Delaware, and we was out riding around, and this guy meant well. And he told me this. He said, Brother, I think God's men ought to have good treatment. He said, Brother, he said, I think preachers ought to be tax exempt. He said, I don't think preachers ought to even have to pay any taxes. I was sitting there listening to him say that, and I thought, well, it would be nice. And, of course, a preacher does have to pay taxes. And I thought that would be nice. That would be a blessing. And that guy meant well when he said it, but he didn't know what he was saying. If it was a law in America that preachers didn't have to pay taxes, there'd be 200,000 more preachers by this time tomorrow. Everybody and their brother would claim to be a preacher. Here's a used car lot dealer down here. Yeah, I'm a preacher. This is my religion, selling cars. I'm tax exempt. Yeah, I deal in fake Rolexes. And God has called me to sell these fake Rolexes on the street, and therefore I'm tax exempt. You see what I'm saying? The ministry has sunk. It has sunk to the place now where people don't even, they're not scared of it anymore. They don't fear it. Years ago, people wouldn't have got on TV and made fun of a preacher of the Word of God. They have found something else to joke about. But a lot of it, as I said, is the preacher's fault. The Bible said in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. If you got a preacher that you can't put your confidence in, that's just like having a broke tooth. You can't chew with it. You can't enjoy your meal with it, or a foot out of joint. You can't get nowhere. You can't walk. You can't accomplish nothing. But I want to say tonight, have we lost our confidence? But then there's another reason why people have lost confidence in the ministry tonight. I believe a lot of it lies at the feet of the men that call themselves preachers. Let me tell you, preachers, here's something tonight. If you're called to preach, all of you listen to me, all you young men, once you say God's called you to preach, people put their eyes on you. People put their magnifying glasses on you. They watch you when you're walking down the street. They watch you when you don't even know they're watching you. It's not fair, but it's a truth. It really does. I'm a good mind to tell you something. It popped in my head just now. Ryman told his whole church, so I guess I might as well tell you. Something happened to me just this week. You got to watch everything you do if you're a preacher. You can't even live a normal life because somebody's going to be watching you and say something about it. And I've been doing this for 20 years, brother, and I try to allow the Lord to lead me, and I try to do right. Just this week up there in wherever I was at the first part of the week, Dover, Delaware. I was in there, and they had me in a little old motel, this little old rinky-dink motel. Didn't even have a telephone, and they put me in there, and I mean, it wasn't too bad, $3 or $4 a night, something like that. I mean, just a little hole in the wall, but I was thanking God for it, and I appreciate it. Brother Ryman and his family lives in the basement of the church. And their house burned. They ain't got nothing hardly. Have to go outside in the little camper to take showers. So I wasn't complaining. I thank God for what He provided for me. But I didn't have a telephone. And I had to go to this other building to use a telephone. And it got so cold at night. The wind was blowing up there a few nights ago. I don't know how it was here, but about 3 nights ago, man, I like to froze to death. And I had to go down to a Denny's restaurant and get in there to use the phone. And they have this little area when you first come in and when you really go in. They had a little area right in there. And I'd stand there to use the phone. And I stood there for I don't know how long. Every 2 or 3 minutes, somebody would open that door. That wind would come in there, and like I couldn't hear, freezing in there. Well, I stayed in that little old motel, and there was a girl, lady, I don't know, maybe in her 28, 27 or 8 years old, in the room right next to me. And she was running around there, bless her heart. And one day she came out right in front of me. I went out to use the phone. She went out to use the phone. It was about 11 o'clock at night. She said, "Are you going to use the phone?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's okay. You can have it." And she had on them wild-looking clothes, you know, looked like some kind of, I don't know, hippie. I mean, real jet black dyed hair like Tina Turner, frosted out, you know, black like that, rings on every finger, silver jewelry, you know, oh, that's a bad sign there. All them fingers right there, you know. She had on them pants, had holes in them all the way down through there like that. I just moseyed on back to my room. Next evening I was in there, I was getting ready to go to church. I was sitting there reading my Bible, praying, and I was just getting ready to leave. And she was out there walking around in the parking lot. And then she come over and knocked on the door. My motel, I went, oh. And I said, "Lord, you better help me right here. I don't know. The devil must be up to something." She came beating on my door, and this guy at church had let me borrow his car. Thank God I at least did have a car to drive back and forth to the services. And she out there, this time she had on all these satanic looking clothes. I mean, all black and everything. And she's out there at the door, and she said, "Are you getting ready to go somewhere?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm getting ready to leave here in just a second." She said, "I've got my check and I've got to get it cashed. Would you please take me downtown to get my check cashed?" And of course, you know, I said, "Well, you know, I didn't want to say no, you wicked sinner. I can't have nothing." I said, "Well, yeah, hop in." And so she hopped in. I got in and was going down the road like this. And I got to thinking. So I started witnessing to her immediately. And then I started thinking. I thought about that letter I got, and I thought, this is a setup. Sure as a world.
She had on this black jacket, and this black hair, everything black. I said, they followed me here. They're going to be taking pictures. She's probably got a camera. I said, you ought to go to church with me tonight. And she said, well, I said, talk to her and try to witness to her and tell about the Lord and everything. We went to the store. I waited on her like this, nervously, out in the car. She come back in. She said, they wouldn't cash it. I said, okay. I started writing. She said, the only place they'll cash it is the liquor store. She said, I know the liquor store cash it. I'm going down the road like this. I said, I know this is the devil. I know it's the devil. I said, well, you ain't going to buy no liquor, are you? She said, no, I ain't going to think I'd buy liquor. I said, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you would. I ain't going to take you if you're going to buy liquor. She said, I'm not going to buy no liquor. So here me and her pulls in the liquor store. I'm sitting out here in this guy's car. You know, I used to think all kinds of crazy thoughts. I thought, Lord have mercy. I know. I said, they got Rodney King on that video camera. Somebody over there has got one of them pointed right at me. They're going to clip it. They got her going in the liquor store, coming out. Then they got me and her pulling back in the motel. It'll be all over Marion when I get back. They'll call a deacon's meeting. They'll show it in there. They're going to ruin me. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil and all that kind of stuff. I said, she got back in the car. They wouldn't cash her check either. I cruised back in there, got in that motel, got out of there, and that Ryman got up and made fun of me and told the whole church about it. Here I done told all you about it. You say, what do you say? I'll tell you something, brother. There's never been a time when the devil's out to get preachers like he is now. Amen. I mean, brother, I went and stuck one of them flyers on her door and told her she needed to come to church the next night and get right with God. I put it on her too, buddy. I mean, I witnessed to her, told her she needed to get right, and told her the devil had ruined her life, and I told her what alcohol would do to her. And I said, Terry, her name was Terry. She's down in Florida somewhere. I said, that stuff will ruin you. Don't ever do that stuff. And I got in a good lick as I could get in there while I had a little chance. Crazy Alan Ryman come to my motel the next morning before I even got up, beating on the door. Danny. That's what he done. Come out. It's cold out here. I said, oh, shut up out there. He's a nut. But I tell you what, listen, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's never been a time. You can't move now. You don't know who's got a video camera pointing at you nowadays. And you don't know how they can splice them things together. You don't. There's probably some of you sitting right here. There's probably some of you sitting right here tonight saying, uh-huh, I reckon he really did that. You letting the devil talk to you. I tell you before God, brother, I didn't touch her. I'd have been scared to if I wanted to. Amen, brother. I ain't stupid, man. I don't see how people go out and fool around people they don't even know. Like, I'd be scared. If I was in sin, I'd be scared to touch somebody like that. We're living in a time when people have lost confidence in the ministry. The news media, number two, it's what's caused people to lose confidence in the news, in the ministry. The news media is on a constant rampage, trying their best to make preachers look bad. Anytime you see a movie in Hollywood that has a preacher on it, he's either a woman chaser or a crook or a drunk, or he's messing with drugs, or he's stealing from the church funds. Brother, I tell you something. Anybody who's visiting here tonight, you can stand our deacons up here tonight. You can stand our treasurer back here tonight. You ask them who handles the money in this church. The only time I ever handle any money in this church is when I have to. I don't fool with the checks unless I have to. And it's always been that way. And by the grace of God, it always will be that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we're living in a day when the news media makes you think, yeah, the preacher's got the money and the preacher's getting rich and the preacher's got all that. They're trying their best to make you lose confidence in the ministry so you won't listen to what the man of God has to say when he gets up and preaches on Sunday.
Brother, I want to tell you something this morning or this evening. You listen to me. You listen to me, Temple. I may not be much. And brother, I've failed in sin and come short of the glory of God. But there's no doubt in my mind. God has put His hand on me to do what I'm doing. God has put me here in this church. I know for a fact. And you better be real careful before you start discrediting the ministry of God Almighty. I'm not saying that because of me, but it's His word and it's His doing. You know what? People that fight against God's men a lot of times don't even live long. That's, hey, I read over there in the book of 2 Kings where they come out, and I appreciate you praying for me. I'm feeling much better now. I tell you what, brother, nothing will do a headache good like screaming and hollering, you know what? I tell you what, brother, when they come out to get old Elisha, Elisha turned around and said, "Oh, it's you bunch of little 42 reprobates, and she-bears come out of the wood and eat 42 of them." You believe that? That's what the Bible said. Bears eat them up. I don't doubt in my mind the reason why a lot of parents have the wolves of this world eating up their young people is because of their disrespect toward the ministry. That's why they call me Brother Danny. Not Danny, pastor, preacher, something like that, to teach kids respect. Not because I'm big or somebody or nothing like that. Now this thing that just happened this week down in Waco is sad. I just found out about it when I got to Delaware. They told me when I got in the van riding, I rode down from Philadelphia to Delaware, they said, They put tear gas in that place this morning. I said, "Did they?" They said the FBI busted through the doors and their 51-day, whatever it was, standoff has ended. Now the place is on fire. I said, "Man, they set it on fire?" And then so I got in the motel, found the CNN or whatever news channel. I said, "I want to find out what's going on." Sure enough, they said that they had seen cult members on different ends of the building, at least three different spots, pouring lantern fuel, setting fires, burned the compound down on top of them. You know something? That was a sad, sad, sad picture. I thought about them people in there that really, really believed that David Koresh was a man of God. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, how can we be sure who's for real and who's not for real? How can we really know who's a cult leader and who?" Brother Danny, I'm confused. We talked to somebody this the other day. Some girl, she said, "There's so many different religions, I don't want nothing to do with none of them." You see what I'm saying? The devil made you lose confidence in the ministry. Now the truth is, it's real simple. I can tell you how that anybody should not have followed David Koresh. Listen, this is an infallible truth that will never lead you wrong. Listen, if I die, if I get killed tomorrow, you remember this. If you have to move to another county or another state and have to go to another church, always remember this, people. You will never go wrong following a man as he follows this book. Where people mess up is they follow a man's personality, they follow a man's charisma, they follow his charm, they follow his gifts, and forget what the Bible says. That's where they messed up. I've tried to teach you that from day one. I've screamed that out for 16 years on that hill up there and down here. Always follow the man as he follows the Bible. Listen, if I get up here and I start telling you to do things that's not right, if I get up here and I say, "Well, God has shown me something different. I'm gonna come." Listen, that idiot down there was having sexual relations with 12-year-old kids. He was molesting people. He was telling them all kind of false doctrine. They should have got out of there right then. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't read their book. They didn't read their book. And they burned to death because they're too lazy to read the book. And they thought, "Oh, he's great. He's great." They ain't no man great enough to tell you beyond what's in this book. I don't care who he is. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he can make that pulpit float.
I don't care, brother. I don't care if there's an angel comes down out of heaven and says, this is my man. Listen to him. If that angel tells you one word that's against what this book says, you tell that angel to go back to hell where it come from. Yeah. Brother, this is what our Bible says. The Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. You can't never be a cult as long as you believe that. Study church history. Study church history. You can never become a cult as long as the Bible's your final authority. What causes cults is the man becomes the final authority and not the Bible. And they just finally throw the Bible aside and says, whatever he says, we'll do. Listen, I don't believe there's nobody in here if I said, all right, people, we're going to set the building on fire. I can see what you're going to do, buddy. You know why? Because you're taught right. You'd say, see you, Brother Danny. My car's out in the parking lot. Been nice knowing you. I've really enjoyed your ministry all these years. You'd be out the door. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'd stay in here and burn with you. You're an idiot. What you are. So I ain't gonna stay in there and burn with nobody. Can you imagine? You say I'm supposed to be loyal to my pastor as long as he's loyal to the Word of God. You got that? If I flip my lid and tell you weird stuff like that, kick me out of here. Kick me out. Sorry, preacher. It's over. Nothing personal. Get. That's what the pulpit is for. It's to preach the Word of God. Not man's opinions. Not man's ideas. Not man's beliefs. Not his own visions or revelation. That's why you better be careful. Some of these churches are going around always having all these visions and all these prophecies and all that stuff. I'm leery of that kind of stuff. You got everything God wants you to know right here in the pages of this old book right here. There's enough stuff in that 1611 Bible out there to keep you busy 7 days a week without needing an extra vision from an angel. We lost confidence in the ministry. You say, Brother Danny, you travel around, you meet a lot of preachers, you got confidence. All right, I'm going to give you my own personal belief and standing right now on this. There is not one preacher friend of mine that I have. There is not one preacher we have at our camp meetings. There is not one preacher that I know of that something hadn't been told on him, bad or wrong, or some area in his life. Maybe he's not a good pastor. Some of these preachers that have a great evangelistic ministry, you go to their church and they got just a little crowd and it's dead as 4 o'clock. Some of them been accused of misusing funds. Some of them been accused of running off church members. Some of them been accused of lying or embezzling or something like that. There's not one preacher I know of that ain't been accused in his community of doing something really wrong. But you know something? I got confidence tonight in a lot of God's men. What's confidence? A firm belief and trust in. We have men come and preach this at our church. I can sit down there and listen to them. And you know as well as I know, folks, it's coming right out of here. I didn't say they was perfect. I'm saying I got confidence in a man like that. I got confidence in the ministry. So they come out with this thing on Jack Hiles a couple of years ago, and he had supposedly done all this stuff. You know, as soon as somebody told me that, I said, I don't believe that. Somebody else said, well, Brother Danny, it's true. They've got proof. And I said, I don't believe it. Amen. That thing blowed over and their church is packed full, doing better than ever. Amen. You better be careful and not lose confidence in the ministry. You say, well, what if he did it? Well, if he did, God must have fixed it because he sure is doing good now. Now I'm telling you tonight, don't let the devil cause you to cast away your confidence. The news media Here's what the news media is saying blew up the World Trade Center. Fundamentalist. There is not even a word in the Muslim faith called fundamentalist. They don't even use that word in their religion. But the news media tells us that fundamentalists have blown up the World Trade Center. Now you tell me why they use that word. Here's Koresh in Texas. Here's the fundamentalists blowing up the World Trade Center. Here's Catholic priests molesting the altar boys. That's to make the general public say all preachers are freeloaders that are too lazy to work and sap people for their money and take advantage of people and scare them they're going to hell so they can make a living off of them. That's what the news media wants you to think. Then I want to lay the blame for the loss of confidence in the ministry tonight. Thirdly, on the people themselves. The preachers is to blame first. If we all get right with God and do what we're supposed to, that would help about 50 or 60% of the problem. If you're a preacher, you ought to live like a preacher. If you're a preacher, you ought to pay your debts, boys. Pay your bills. If there's anything people can't stand, it's a preacher that won't pay his bills. If anybody in here knows any money that I owe somebody I ain't paid them, I challenge, come down here and tell me tonight. I'll see they get it. If I have to go borrow it, they'll get it. I mean that. I'm not trying to sound big or tough. Preacher's supposed to pay his bills. Tell the truth. Walk right in the community. I don't mean you have to wake up with a tie on and sleep in a suit, you know, and all that. I mean, just make your steps walk straight. Live your life so that when people criticize you, nobody will believe them. The people's part. You know what's wrong with people tonight? People have an unreasonable expectation of the ministry. They really do. They put you in a place so high you can't live up to everything they want you to be. People say, well, Brother Danny, I thought my preacher would do this, not do that, and it didn't happen, and he didn't visit me when I was in the hospital. Lord, have mercy, people. I mean, he ain't Superman. I mean, if we give you that impression, forgive us, but we ain't Superman. Don't mean to. Some preachers are guilty of giving that impression. And man, I talked to a boy from New York this week. He said, preacher, when I first heard all this scandals on this preacher and that preacher and all that, he said, I just want to forget the whole thing. He said, just forget it. Forget Christianity. Forget church. Forget the Bible. Forget everything. That's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. He lost confidence. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 10 said, Paul said, I have confidence in you through the Lord. What that means? I think that means, like say I have confidence in Todd through the Lord. That means I know that in his flesh he's just a man like me and he couldn't live right till tomorrow. But through the Lord, I trust that the Lord is keeping him and he's serving.
Thank you. This is Danny Castle. We thank the Lord for being back with you again today, right here on the Bread from Heaven broadcast. Thank the Lord for this privilege that we have to preach the gospel, and I hope that you'll just stay tuned with us for a little while this evening. And I want to bring you a very important message preached at our church about 2 weeks ago, and it deals with the mistreatment of children, child molestation, that type of thing. And it's just unbelievable what's going on in America. And God have mercy on us as a nation this evening. I hope and pray that you'll listen carefully. The Lord will give you a burden to pray. You pray for me, Lord willing, at present. I'm revival meeting all this week at the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Canton, Ohio. Brother Art Martin is pastor, and we're looking forward to all these services, planning a big service for Friday night. And so please pray for these services. And we are all week, Lord willing. And then we'd like to invite you to come be with us anytime that you can at New Manna Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. Our church is very easy to find. We just have a lot of things going on right now during this spring of the year, getting ready for camp season. And we have our youth camp booked up out all summer long, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. And just can't hardly wait. So you be praying about these things for us and with us. And come be with us anytime that you can. Our Sunday school's at 10 o'clock, preaching at 11, and then again at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. Church is real easy to find, located there on East Court Street, just down from Main Street in Marion, North Carolina. Let's get right on in with that message now, entitled, Who Will Save the Children?
Think about it. There's one thing that really, really tires me up. It's people being cruel to kids. I just can't hardly stand it. I don't like to see people be cruel to animals. A human being, it's hard for me to imagine how people could be cruel, take these little babies like we saw a while ago and be mean to them. I can't figure that out. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what's going on right here in McDowell County. And we're close to home. I know I'm close to home, and I'm not near as dumb as I used to be. It'd shock you. It would shock us. If we knew what some of these kids right here in this church are living in and around in their home. Friday was Earth Day, and I about wanted to go out and throw all my trash out on the side of the road. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, we need to save Mother Earth. Listen, you couldn't destroy this earth if you tried. This earth, you ain't going to destroy this earth. Did you know there ain't even no evidence that the ozone layer is deteriorating because of anything man's done? None. None. That's a bunch of junk. That's people wanting a religious. They want you to quit driving your car. I bet you they don't quit driving theirs. We all should have just went out and started sawing trees down to celebrate Earth Day. Now, some of you don't understand that, and you don't like it. You know what? I'm aggravated this morning because, well, what people need to go out and save some of these boys and girls that's being destroyed. 500,000 a year before they even have a chance to grow. 500,000 a year. You know that it's a crime to bust the eagle egg? It's a crime, it's against the law to bust the eagle egg and destroy that unborn eagle. And it's not a human being. The most unsafe place in America this morning for you to be is in your mother's womb. You got a 50-50 chance and among young ladies of never coming out alive. It's scary, buddy. And I'm gonna hit it hard this morning because it bothers me. I don't think kids ought to be mistreated. When I think about these little boys and girls that come across here a minute ago, people say, I don't know what you'd do if you came in one night and found some pervert molesting one of your kids. You say, I'd lose my religion and kill him. No, you keep your religion and kill him. You ain't got much religion if you wouldn't do something for your kid. We're living in a wimpy society, brother. The Bible said if a man don't provide for his own and protect his faith, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. You're worse than an atheist. You say, well, they have their right. Not to mess with my youngins, they don't. They don't go mess themselves up, that's their business. You don't have a right to mess with somebody's kids. We've had cases right here in McDowell County where kids try to be picked up in grocery stores. Another one right up here on Main Street. Some pervert took him down underneath the bridge, down where the railroad crossing goes over the bridge on Main Street. And we only hear the
tip of the iceberg. I had a young lady sit in my office, rode one of our buses. I can't tell you what she told me. We've had the police pick them up here at our church parking lot. Get them away from people that's abusing them. Recently, just in the last few weeks. Let me show you, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 just a second. Let me show you what the Bible says about this type of thing. Everybody look at your Bible there now. You need to learn that Bible, and that Bible will put your head on straight. The news media will mess it up. And I'm going to deal with that tonight. If you want to hear what happened in Waco, Texas, I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight. Tell you what happened. Somebody said David Koresh wasn't really dead and he was hiding and he's going to reappear and say he rose from the dead. I don't know about that. I don't believe that, but I'm going to show you. Have you noticed? You noticed how the news media is now trying to blame the government? That's about dumb, ain't it? The police are never obligated to let the criminal call the shots and make up their mind what the rest of the world's going to do. The police have a job. The police have a job to give you one fair warning. If you don't comply, they have the right to do whatever is necessary. You can't blame the cops, man. If you're in somebody's house and you're holding them hostage and they say come out with your hands up and you don't, then you are responsible for whatever happens after that. I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But we're living in a world that right's wrong and wrong's right. I wouldn't be too popular in Washington, D.C. today. They said they're going to have 2,000 homosexuals getting married today in Washington. And they're mad because the man Clinton ain't going to be there. Son, I'd got out of town too if I'd have been him. I ain't got time to preach on all that this morning. I tell you, brother, you young people listen to me this morning, you're living in a sick day. You're living in a sick society, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope you've got. If He don't help you, you've had it. Look here in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 16. When Jesus Christ was born, the devil wanted him killed. He killed all the babies, 2 years old and younger. King Herod did. Verse 16 said, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He got real mad. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of wise men. He's trying to kill Jesus. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, you know whose wife Rachel is? Is Jacob's. You know who Jacob is? His name is Israel. That's the children of Israel weeping for their children. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And all throughout that Jewish community, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was mamas seeing their babies sliced. They took swords, sliced them up like they were meat, cut their heads off, stuck them, however they chose to put them to death. And all throughout that land there were mamas crying over their babies. Now, I want you to think about that for just a few minutes. Think about what I just said. Who's destroying the children of this generation? They say now that children in America are almost an endangered species. 500,000 a year are lost, stolen, or turn up missing every day, every year in America. I got to thinking about it this morning. I stood in the airport this morning before it got daylight in Washington, D.C. And I walked over to this side and had these great big windows up like this. And I got to thinking about that. I got thought, boy, if God opened my eyes, there'd probably be demons just swarming around here. It was like fly mosquitoes coming down on a camp area. They were probably open, all those spirits going around that place. And I thought about all them people. And I mean, these were big shot perverts coming to Washington, D.C., arm in arm. They're saying that today is going to be the largest civil rights march in the history of the United States. Ever. Notice how they use that term, civil rights. Which being, of course, homosexuals, not, it's a moral issue. See? It's not a civil issue at all. As a matter of fact, a crime and against the law still in most states. They say the largest, expecting maybe 1 million. I got to thinking about all those cities. Then my mind went back. I can see the Capitol building over here, and I can see the Washington Monument. And the Washington Monument stands up like this, and there's red light flashing off and on like that. So planes and everything can see it. That thing's big, too. They don't have no big tall buildings in Washington, D.C. They don't want to destroy that pretty scenery and skyline, so they keep them all low so that monument will stick up high above everything else, I was told. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, that's the city that Washington lived in. That's where Abraham Lincoln rode up and down those streets right over there in that city before this airport was even built. And that's where Andrew Jackson and Jefferson and all those men, and I got to thinking about what was going on there today. How that right out in broad daylight with the press covering it, giving it national attention, there would be 2,000 people of the same sex marry each other. And how our nation has forgotten God, and how they're taking little kids like this and saying we have the right to raise them. And even one of our famous country singers, Garth Brooks, said recently that if both of your parents happen to be the same sex, that that's okay and that can be a traditional family. I got to thinking about that, and brother, I almost started crying. I said, God, what's happened to our nation that once stood, had scripture wrote all over that Washington Monument out of a King James Bible? What's happened to our nation that the only parts of the scripture they quote is God is love and give us liberty and all that kind of stuff and ignore the other 75% that condemns our sin? God, what's happened to our nation? God, is there anything? And I bowed my head this morning and I looked, saw those lights over there and I thought about all the wickedness and I bowed my head up against that wind and I said, God, help me to do my part if this nation can be saved. If there could be a revival, whatever it is, God help me to do my part. Ladies and gentlemen, I kind of rededicated my life to God this morning. Looking out over our nation's capital, I'm more convinced than I've ever been before that right here in this old book is the only hope we've got in this nation. It's all we've got. We can't look to our government to save us. They're as corrupt as the rest of the crowd in many cases. We can't look to our economy. We can't look to our bank accounts. They're saying they're falling like flies. Banks are going broke. Deals are being traded. We're selling our property to foreigners and everything else. God's got to help us in this nation. And I tell you what God does. Every time a nation starts mistreating kids, God judges the nation. Every time. Now, I take just a minute and tell you what's going on in this country this morning. Children in America are suffering physical pain and agony at the hands of them that are supposed to be showing them love. An investigator from 2020 says they're treated like garbage, raped and killed. Their young bodies are thrown in plastic bags on trash trucks, dumps, thrown into rivers, somewhere on the roadside like empty beer cans or crushed cigarette butts. They told me of a girl up there recently, just last night, had a 2-year-old child of her own body, right out of her own body. She said, I'm getting tired of keeping him. I'm just going to give him up for adoption. Somebody else can have him. You say, oh boy, Danny, I hear a lot of that kind of stuff nowadays. Maybe she didn't really want it. Let me tell you people something. Let me tell you young people something. There was a day in this country 100 years ago that a mother would walk through hell for her kids. There was a time in this country in the last 50 years you'd have to fight a mother with a gun and a knife to take one of her kids away from her. I'm talking about sinner women. But women that weren't even Christian. It was nearly unheard of for a woman to desert her own offspring. What's happening to our nation? Abuse. Little kids as young as 9 years old are becoming pitiful little mothers. Kids having kids. They raided a place down in Dallas, Texas. One of these sex pervert places that use little children for pornography. Brother, you know as well as I know that you can't, if you've got a kid nowadays, you can't turn your back on them in a shopping center. You better not leave one of them in a parking lot. You go to the post office and watch trucks go down the road with these milk jugs and stuff. Their pictures are everywhere saying, have you seen me? Have you seen me? Have you seen me? And describes them. Little bitty ones. They raided that place down there where these perverts go and have sexual relations with little bitty kids. They said that one of the officers in Dallas, Texas, this man was a hardened law officer. He had seen wrecks, knife fights, guns, shot wounds, shootout, the whole bit. They said that officer went out and sat down on the steps of that place, put his head down and started crying when he seen what was in that place. The youngest baby in that place being used for pornography was 18 months old and already had a venereal disease. Hard times. Saint, many parents seem like they just give up. In Houston, Texas, 4 kids were brought to the emergency room. Sat down in the emergency room in the hospital with a note on one of them's back that said mama couldn't take care of them. Others leaving their kids at babysitters or with grandma and never come back. Keep your seat now. Keep your seat. Everybody be real still. Nobody else get up. They call them throwaway kids. Many live to be teenagers and added to the suicide list. Some of them are chained to bedposts, locked in attics, or locked cars. We had the case right here in our county not long ago where a little boy couldn't learn how to use a bathroom. He'd tie him to the commode with ropes and leave him there all day long. When he'd come home, he'd be fell asleep hanging off the commode seat. And this, the newspaper said that when some of his family would go to the, they'd go to the drive-in theater and they'd push him down in the floorboard and wouldn't let him see the movie because he didn't know how to use the bathroom right. I'm going to get off the subject here just a second, but many parents are walking out telling little boys and girls, honey, daddy can't live with you no more. Honey, mommy can't live here no more. Why? Me and mommy can't get along. Me and daddy can't get along. They think that those little kids, listen, when before they're 2 years old, they feel the pain. So let me tell you people in here something. If you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, somebody flirting with you at work, trying to get you to leave your husband or your wife. Listen, a person that would try to get a mama to leave her kids, they ain't worth the powder and shot it take to blow their fool heads off. You ought to have your head examined to talk to somebody like that. You say, well, preacher, I'll get mad at you. Good, I'm mad at them. I'm taking up for these little kids this morning. They can't take up for themselves. God have mercy on us, people. You know what I've heard people say? Boy, I just can't wait to get rid of these kids so I can go out and have a good time. You know what's wrong with our generation? I'll tell you right now, brother. We're so selfish and self-centered. All we think about is ourselves. Whatever happened to the day when mama sacrificed for her kids?
Amen.
Whatever happened to the day when daddy and mama would do without so their kids could have something? It's not that way nowadays.
Right.
Kid, you go in there and stay. Me and mama's going to go party and get drunk and live it up tonight. And the kids have to do with that. That's the day we're living in, brother. That same thing happened in Jesus' day. Same thing happened in Moses' day. And it's the same thing that's going on this morning in Florida. A 17-year-old girl become a stripper at a bar. She couldn't handle all the pressure and the sin and the filthy men she had to deal with, and put a pistol barrel in her mouth. Took her own life. Killed herself. And they finally, somebody got some sense and got her mother for child abuse, for pushing her. She pushed her into it and made her do it for the money. You believe that? Smut peddlers are making fortunes off child pornography. I remember it was 10 years ago, maybe 15, when I first heard of child pornography. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I knew men had girly magazines and they like to look at pictures of women. I mean, that's always been. I'll tell you something, people. We're in bad, bad shape when you have to take 2- and 3-year-old kids to get some kind of a thrill out of it. Look at them. You're sick in your head. You need to get right with God. And there may be somebody here this morning that's mistreating a child. I want to tell you, mister, God's going to get you. He's going to judge you. And I want to tell you, lady, here this morning, God's going to get you too. And I want to tell all you kids something while I'm on it. If anybody, your uncle, your grandpa, I don't care who it is, if anybody ever touches you somewhere where they're not supposed to be touching you, you tell somebody, you call the police, you call 911, put the siren in jail somewhere. Do you know that 95% of child molesters never spend one day in jail? Do you know that we don't know the tip of the iceberg because the low-down things get these kids and threaten them and say, if you ever tell anybody, I'll kill you. Let me tell you something. God's on those kids' side, and God's not going to let you get away with it. And you say, well, Brother Danny, are you insinuating that there might be somebody here? Listen, there's a lot of people in here this morning. I used to be dumb enough to think everybody come to church is good, fine people. Son, did I ever have a lot to learn. Missing kids. Scoutmasters. Priests. Preachers. Club leaders. Religious instructors, psychiatrists. There's case after case after case where these child psychiatrists and psychologists are caught messing around with these kids they're supposed to be trying to help. Little boys and girls who should be out playing with dolls and trucks and in sand piles, knowing that there's adults going to take care of them, are now in daycare centers watching movies every day. And a lot of days, to recognize somebody that's going to pick them up and how to defend themselves. Kids ought not to have to be. You might as well raise them in a jungle than to be raised in America the way it is nowadays. A psychologist in Virginia has got 20 years in prison, molested 4 of his kids, disturbed boys. He's the one that's disturbed. The police in Los Angeles sees the list. 30,000 customers and names that are on a child pornography list. 70,000 copies of the book sold called Where the Young Ones Are. And these businessmen, 30,000 businessmen, fly to L.A., Dallas on these business trips, and this hooks them up with clubs and stuff where they can go get them a little kid to spend the night with. Well, ain't that something? You know, I got to think about all that God's going to see in Washington today. And I got to thinking, boy, it'd be a good time for earthquake up there, wouldn't it? If I was the Lord today, I'd be tempted just, I didn't mean to make a big giant hole in Washington, D.C. This is gone. I don't want nobody to go to hell, but the world would be a whole lot better place. I know somebody's going to get mad at me today, and you're going to go out, you're going to talk about me, you're going to say, I'm never going to go hear him preach again. Well, you must have some kind of guilty conscience where it wouldn't bother you so bad. Let me tell you, brother, I'm for these kids. They need a chance. They need a chance to grow up in a decent home, an environment, and go to church and learn about God like me and you did. Lord, have mercy. What's our world come to? You know who the bad guy was? We're the bad people for saying anything about it. You know something? I want to tell you three or four things this morning, what all this means before I close. I heard about a little girl. Police was going down the road, interstate, and they saw this little girl on the side of the road. And she's about that high, and she is down kind of in the grass like that, and had her fingers in the chain fence, and she was crying. Tears coming down her face here, and the police stopped and got her. And I said, what you doing, honey? And she said, I don't think my mommy's coming. I don't think my mommy's coming. She had a big blue place right around here where they'd hit her. They said, honey, where is your mama? She's almost froze to death. She said, mommy took me out here last night and told me to hold on real tight. And she'd come back and get me. I don't think my mommy's coming. You heard the story that Brother Ricky Henson told last week, how that one girl and they took her out of her home because she's being abused and molested. They put her in a foster home and then they had to put her in another, and she had been moved out of five different foster homes for the very same thing she took out of her first home for. Six times. What's a girl going to grow up thinking that every home she goes to, some old wicked, nasty man can't keep his hands off of her? Listen, if you're a man here this morning and you have a problem being around young girls or young boys and you want to grab everyone, you say, you know what, buddy, you need to get down here and get the demons cleaned out of you. You need to ask God to have mercy on you. You say, well, I read a psychology book and they said it was normal behavior. They're stupid. It's not normal. It's not normal. I know some of you ain't never going to come back and you, I don't like that preacher, but I'm not mean. Really, I'm not mean. I just hate the devil and I hate to see somebody abusing kids. Ain't right. Now, this thing shows us two or three things. Number one, as I begin to close this morning, number one, it shows us that Jesus is coming soon. I was looking up there this morning, I thought, well, how in the world could the Lord let it go on? I thought, why did He give them such pretty weather? Why didn't that blizzard come today? Snow 3 foot. You know, but that just shows you how good God is. God's good, man. They're up there blaspheming everything He stands for in that book, and they're saying, we're going to get married, and God's going to bless us today, and God gives them sunshine. And they're staying in a $100 a night motel room. Man, it's pouring in that Marriott up there. I come from Delaware to going to Maryland Friday night, and we met halfway. Brother Ryman took me over there, and then they met me and took me on back. We met at the Marriott Hotel there around Washington, D.C., and they'd been sitting there a while waiting. They said it's coming in there arm in arm, boy. Rich dudes. Partying it up for the day. And the Lord lets the sun shine. And the Lord lets the grass grow. But oh boy, let me tell you, one of these days, one day He's going to say, that's all it's going to go. And the trumpet's going to sound, and everybody that's really saved is going to leave out of this world. Buddy, when that time comes, it's Katie bar the door then, brother. It's good night, Irene. Man, I mean, they'll run for the rocks and the mountains. They'll cry and the...
All right, we're going to have to stop right there. You've been listening to the message on the subject, Who'll Save the Children? And, it's a sickening thing, the way kids are being treated today and the world they're having to grow up in. But I believe that the Lord Jesus is the answer. And I believe God's people have what this world needs and looking for, and we need to give it to them. So I hope the Lord will use the message to bless your heart today. Now, you continue to pray for me. President, Lord willing, I'm revival meeting all this week at the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Canton, Ohio. Brother Art Martin is pastor, and I hope that you'll pray for the services through Friday night and be coming home Saturday morning, Lord willing. Well, we've got to go for now, and until tomorrow at the same time, this is Danny Castle saying, may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.